everybody. Welcome to the Homeworkies podcast. We're really excited today to have a special bonus episode for you guys. We love doing these episodes, especially in March, since Hallmark is not giving us very much content to cover. And we had a new adaptation of the Jane Austen novel, Emma, that came out this month. And so I thought it would be really fun to get a chance to talk about not only this version, but many of the different versions of Emma, and talk about Jane Austen in general. You know that that a lot of us enjoy her books and the various adaptations that have come. I'm film critic Rachel Wagner. I have a special guest today. Film blogger Sarah Hargett is here. She is a huge Austen fan. And Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So do you want to introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners?
Well, you basically said it all. I blog about movies. That's basically it.
You've always been a big movie fan growing up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very cool. So, let's just dive in and talk about Jane Austen. So it's interesting to me. I kind of think of the same thing with Sherlock Holmes. You know, you have these books that just seem to, no matter the era, they just seem to be not only enjoyable, but find a way to relate and be applicable in any era. And why do you think that Jane Austen was able to write such timeless stories?
I guess she just like saw humanity for what it is, and humanity is always the same no matter what the era. So she was just very honest about it, I guess, and saw the humor in the folly of humanity and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's something that you can relate to at any point, right?
Right. I think that what she was able to do is she was able to get to the core of characters that are forced to make choices, and that are, you know, that are oftentimes her books are seen as sort of fluffy. I feel like sometimes seen as sort of fluffy books about love, but I think that's actually the wrong interpretation, because they just are incidentally about love, in my opinion, because that was the one choice that these women had, the one thing they had control over. And so in the core, it's about these women who are forced to make choices, and then they're held accountable for those choices. And who can't relate to that?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it too.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, and especially if you look at somebody like Lizzie, her refusal of Darcy is an incredibly bold thing to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know if it necessarily translates 100% now compared to what it would have been then. I mean, she literally is refusing somebody that could save her entire family.
Yeah.
And especially when you just have Charlotte Lucas, you know, doing what she does. And so, you know, that her characters are very bold. It's not some sort of trifling thing like sometimes we think of love stories or can think of love stories today.
It's like high stakes romance.
So it's an interesting thing, and I think that makes you really root for the characters, because you know that they're being honest about their feelings and about these choices. They're not just I don't know, like these sort of robot women that are just doing what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
I think that makes it, that's what makes it so timeless. Did you grow up reading Austen? Do you remember your first Austen that you read?
I can't remember when I read it. Probably when I was around 15. Mm-hmm. I read all of them, I think, except for like Lady Susan. And I didn't read those. But yeah, I think I read them all around about the same time. My sister was even more a fan of Jane Austen than I was, and she would like read them like once a year, like even before I started reading them. So she kind of like forced me to read them.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I first started when I was, I think, 17, 16 or 17. I read Sense and Sensibility first, and I loved it so much. And we had like 3 or 4 weeks off of break, winter break, and I read at least I read at least Sense and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice, and Persuasion in pretty quick order, and then Emma is I think her longest book, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think it probably is.
Yeah. And one interesting thing about Emma is that it has the most romantic dialogue between any of the characters. And that's a really interesting thing to me about Jane Austen, because the books are ostensibly about love and them finding love, but there's actually very little romantic dialogue between the characters.
Yeah.
What she'll do is you'll have this, it'll say something like, it'll say something like, Darcy said what was appropriate for a man, ardently in love. And you're like, no, I want to hear what he said.
Yeah, I know.
except for in Emma. Emma's the only one where you really hear, you really get into Knightley's head, I think, the most.
Yeah. His speech at the end.
Yeah, his speech at the end. And just their arguing kind of back and forth, where the closest that, I mean, with both Persuasion and with Pride and Prejudice, you get it in letters, the inner workings of their minds, which is great. But I don't know, that's kind of nice to have that sort of snappy dialogue between Emma and Mr. Knightley. I think it's really fun.
Yeah, I really liked I think Emma was probably my favorite, just because I really liked the way that Mr. Knightley's speech at the end goes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even remember it anymore, but I was just like, oh, this is so good.
It's so good. Yeah, it's really, really good. I don't know. I have a special place in my heart for all of them. I mean, if I had to pick, I think Pride and Prejudice probably is my favorite.
It's a very solid favorite.
It's so good. And I get invested in the story every time, even though I've read it. I used to read all of her books every year. It was a thing. I'd have like a month or 2 months where I would just read all the big five. I would read every year. And since I've become a podcaster, I have less time, but I still like to have them on just as an audiobook or something like that. Cause I just love them all so much. Mm-hmm. And unlike Little Women, I mean, I love Little Women. Little Women was really important to me, but I feel like the film adaptation journey of Little Women is a lot rockier. For the most part, most of the Austen adaptations have been pretty good, I think.
Yeah,
there's really
how to improve on them.
Yeah, there's really not. I'm trying to think. I mean, the Pride and Prejudice with Olivier is ridiculous, but it's still good. But it's like, but like Lady Catherine de Bourgh is like meddling to see if she's the right one for
her. That's a good excuse.
We both saw the Sanditon we were talking, and that was terrible or very disappointing, but that's only half in Jane Austen books, so I don't think it counts.
No, it doesn't count in my opinion.
Yeah, but for the most part, I it's really cool because not only do you have the traditional versions of her stories, but you have the new takes. You know, there's Bollywood takes of her stories. Modern takes. It's just interesting how she created these characters, and you can almost put them anywhere because it's just who. These characters are vulnerable and interesting and have depth to them, and that's I think why they work.
Kind of like in the same way you can do modern Shakespeare, and it's
exactly, and I think maybe even more so than Shakespeare. It's just so timeless. And one of the things that I think is unique about Emma in particular, as opposed to the other books, is that Emma is the elite.
Mm-hmm.
Of society. Her other books, you have someone coming from a different perspective and sort of satirizing the elite. Because you have Lizzie, obviously, her family is going to, the estate's going to be entailed away. And so there, it's a problem. And then you have Anne, who's an old maid, and they've lost their fortune. You have you have Marianne and Eleanor, who have lost everything with their father's death. Fanny in Maxwell Park is basically living with her cousins because she doesn't have anything. And so all of her other stories are sort of these people that are just on the edge of the elites. They're hanging on with your life.
But not part of them.
Yeah. And so then in Emma, instead you have this character who is at the top, is at the highest part. And she's honestly, I think, kind of bored. And that's what gets, she's been very, very sheltered her whole life. And she's also kind of bored. And so that's what causes her to meddle in other people's lives. And I think she's probably the most, I don't say she's unlikable, but she's definitely the most flawed of any of her characters.
Like if you knew her in real life, maybe you wouldn't like her.
Right.
It's only because we know her because of the story that we actually like her.
Well, and I think the main reason that I think she's able to be a character that you can root for is that she always has the best of intentions.
Yes.
There's never anything done out of malice. Even with Miss Bates, the big scene where she's snooty to Miss Bates. She's not trying to. Yeah,
she just wasn't thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Harriet, she's always like thinking of others too.
Right.
Which is nice.
Yeah. And so there's just like a naivety about her that makes you forgive a lot. Definitely. And also the book never fails to hold her accountable for her mistakes too. She gets a nice little lecture for everything that every mistake she makes, which also helps because she's learning and growing as a character. Mm-hmm. But it makes a lot of sense because, I mean, she would be a very secluded character. She certainly wouldn't have gone to school or had a ton of social interaction that wasn't pretty formal.
Yeah.
And so she would have just spent time with her governess and her dad.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I guess Knightley. So it's an interesting difference between her other books that you kind of have the different social dynamics, I think, going on. And we're going to talk about with Clueless, but I think that one of the things interesting about the Clueless interpretation in particular is that, in my opinion, I think that in any other teen movie, Cher and Dion would be the villains. They would be the mean girls of most stories, if you think about it. I mean, there's not that much difference between Regina George and Cher Horowitz, except for Cher is nice. Cher has a good heart, and she's trying to be nice. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I always thought that was kind of interesting. You could just flip the script really easy.
Yeah.
You know, there.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
But, all right, well, so we're going to talk about different versions and see the pluses and minuses, what we like, what we don't like in the different versions. So there were actually two versions that came out in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have the Miramax, the Gwyneth Paltrow version. To the feature films. Then we also had, there was a television version done by Andrew Davies who's done a lot of these adaptations. He did The Sanditon, which wasn't good, But have you ever seen that one? Have you ever seen that one with Kate Beckinsale?
Yes, I saw it once, I think.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time, so I don't have a ton to say on it. I remember thinking that the ending was weird.
Yeah, I can't remember why.
Yeah, there's like this harvest festival, and in the whole setting, it feels more, I think, Regency than the Georgian era. It feels like a different era than the rest of them. And I just remember thinking, it was so different than the Gwyneth Paltrow one, as far as the costumes and the everything. And Mark Strong plays Knightley, and
with his weird hair. I remember that.
Yeah, his weird hair. And he wasn't my favorite. I think if you want to see a good Kate Beckinsale, Jane Austen, should watch Love and Friendship. Did you ever see that one?
I did, yeah. I didn't like it very much, but it was interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, it was like very amusing, but it didn't really feel like Jane Austen to me somehow. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah. And I just thought it was so funny the way that she was just able to like manipulate people, mm-hmm. but you didn't feel. Yeah. So she's probably, I mean, definitely if you include her, she's the most unlikable Austen characters, but she kind of, everybody else in the story is so stupid that you feel less bad for her.
Wasn't that character in Sanditon too? Wasn't that the same person that Kate Beckinsale plays, the lady that comes to Sanditon and she's like really rich and she's like a lady?
Yeah. Oh, isn't that the one that he ends up
character?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, that was Lady Susan.
Yeah, I was like, that's right. that's like Lady Susan. And I think she said her name was Susan. I was like, what?
But anyway, she's really good in Love and Friendship. And the 1996 Emma is just, it's very forgettable. So yeah. That one.
Yeah, but it's still passable.
Yeah, it's still passable. And
I overall liked it.
Yeah. And so then we have the Gwyneth Paltrow version, mm-hmm. where she puts on the British accent. Gwyneth does. And
I always thought she was British.
Oh, really? That was like that era where all of a sudden, like everybody, like Madonna all of a sudden had a British accent and like all these people, like, so slow down. But what do you think about this one?
That one's my favorite, mm-hmm. overall. So I think it's like I love the way the lines are delivered. They're just like so rich with like humor. Like, mm-hmm. even the serious stuff is just feels really like rich with humor. But the only problem with it, from my point of view, is that it's too short, which is not really its fault because it has to be a movie length.
Right. What scene do you miss? What do you miss?
I think I miss the Mr. Knightley speech at the end. Like, it's pretty good, but I wanted there to be more of it, mm-hmm. you know? And I think there's some, I can't remember. I think there's a few other things that I would want more of, but I can't remember exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I really do like Gwyneth Paltrow in the role. I think mm-hmm. she does a good job. And I love all the production design in this. I love the costumes. I always thought they looked so pretty and flattering. And they looked so comfortable, the dresses in this. Because sometimes the period pieces, they look so confining, kind of comfortable. But in this one, I don't know, they just looked like just like maxi dresses.
yeah, that's a good point.
And I liked pretty much all the casting in this one, particularly Mrs. Elton in this one. I think she is just absolutely hilarious, and I especially love when she's like, I don't compliment myself, but my friends tell me that I can certainly make a sandwich. That's my favorite. Juliet Stevenson, I think she is really funny in this movie. Mm-hmm. And she's probably my favorite part. I also think Alan Cumming as Mr. Elton is hilarious.
Oh yeah, I love the proposal scene in the carriage with him.
Yeah.
When she's like looking away and then he like starts whispering at her and scares her.
Right. Makes me laugh. If Sophie Thompson is Miss Bates, and she's Emma Thompson's sister, mm-hmm. and I think she's really, really sweet and very funny. It, like, does well for the role.
Yeah.
And something like, we got a letter, mother. The weakness for me in this movie is Toni Collette for me, as Harriet. She feels too old.
Yeah, she's too old and, like, too big, I guess. Like, yeah, like Harriet seems better as like a very petite, like mousy kind of person.
I think so. I agree.
She does act it as well as she possibly could. So
yeah, I mean, it's not a deal breaker by any stretch, but it's the weakest casting, I think, of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you think of Jeremy Northam as Knightley?
I think he's my favorite Knightley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good. I mean, it's nice when they get these people that you see around, but they're not like a big star. I think Matthew McFadden's kind of like that too in The Pride and Prejudice. Mm-hmm. Because it can be a little bit almost distracting when it's this I don't know. There's something. It almost makes it a little bit more sort of sexy to have this like a new face, because of course the big star is our heroine, mm-hmm. so you wouldn't want it to be, you know, kind of too distracting. And so I don't know. He's an actor that you see quite frequently doing things, but usually he's not the leading man. But I think he does a good job, and I do like that his proposal is so good. That whole scene is great.
Mm-hmm.
I think. And of course, young Ewan McGregor is Frank Churchill.
Yeah. I always forget this Ewan McGregor in there.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about Frank Churchill's character in the story?
I love Frank Churchill. I think mm-hmm. he's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's cool. Cause like, he's like, you're free to dislike him, but also you kind of understand why he did what he did.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, it's interesting because obviously the Eltons are more over the top, superficial, you know, hilarious. But Frank Churchill is, in a way, almost worse in a way as far as his character, because he lies to everybody. We find out that he wasn't even missing from his dad's wedding they thought it was because of his aunt, but it was not. He just was hanging out with Jane at the beach. And so he's pretty selfish
mm-hmm,
character, selfish. And especially what he puts Jane through and her embarrassment and everything like that. And so he it is interesting because I think you're kind of not supposed to hate him because he's such a gentleman and suave and whatever, but actually like he's bad.
Yeah. Like he does some pretty bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you kind of understand why he did it too, because like he wants love and he wants his inheritance, and you're like, well, I guess you did it then, like bad job but also good job.
Right. Well, and also you get the great line in the proposal scene where he says, there's one point in which I envy him. I love that. You won't ask me the point of my envy. Perhaps you were wise. So, you know, that's always good. And, so this version, I also love the music, Rachel Portman. It's always been one of my favorite just, scores and theatrical compositions. I really love it. It's so, so sweet. And, I think it's perfect for this particular version.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it stays pretty close to the book. There's not many deviations from the story and
shortcuts.
Mm-hmm, yeah. We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. They're the good folks over at Care Of, and they've been a wonderful sponsor for us. And what they do is they really try hard to personalize your vitamin plan to you and give you a really unique experience that's going to be the most effective and help you to achieve your health goals. Right now, we're all trying to be at our most healthiest state. We've got a new year. We've got all these crazy things going on in the world. And so we all need the help we can get. And what you can do, what's so great about Care Of, is you can go onto their website, takecareof.com, and take their quiz, which really helps you to personalize your vitamin plan, go through and find out the things that you're lacking, that you need, what your lifestyle needs, if you how active you are, all those different things are all figured out in the quiz. And like for me, I definitely was able to narrow down that I needed the most help with my sleep. And so we were able to craft the vitamin routine around hopefully making that as effective as possible. And they send you the vitamins in these easy to use packets that have your name, that have an inspirational quote. And they're great because you can just take a couple of them, put them in luggage, put it in your purse. You've got it ready to go. Very helpful, very handy, there's a great attention to detail, which I appreciate a lot in a product. And I've definitely found them to be so just easy to use. And I think it does definitely help with my sleeping abilities. And then they also have great care into the quality of their products. They have the utmost to date science and research that goes into everything that they sell. They also have yummy protein powders that are made of real ingredients you can recognize, like organic cocoa and pink Himalayan sea salt. So it's a really great product and a great company that takes attention to detail, really cares about you getting something that will help you lead your healthiest life. So definitely check it out. For 50% off your first care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code HALLMARKIES50. That's for 50% off your first care of order, go to takecareof.com, enter code HALLMARKIES50. Then we had, as far as traditional versions, in 2009, we had a version it was adapted by Sandy Welch, who is the person who did the show Victoria. I don't know if you have watched Victoria.
I watched a few seasons, I think.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I prefer it over The Crown, personally. It's a little more dishy than The Crown to me. And a little more melodrama, which I like better. But anyway, so she did this one, Sandy Welch, and it stars Romola Garai. Saying that wrong, probably.
That's how I see it.
And Johnny Lee Miller. And what did you think of this version?
I liked that one mainly because it was long. So it added a lot of stuff that I wanted to see in it. Like, I really like the Frank Churchill in that one and Jane Fairfax and the way they kind of like wrap up their storyline. Mm-hmm. But I don't really like that Mr. Knightley very much.
Oh, really? See, I think they have such nice chemistry, the two of them.
Yeah, I guess they do, but I just don't really like Johnny Lee Miller, I guess. Uh-huh. And something about the proposal scene in that one bothers me. I think they filmed it outside and there was like sun and clouds intermittent that was like distracting me from the proposal part. And it felt like it was like weirdly rushed. So it's like really good up until the end and then it kind of like pitters off.
I can see that.
That's my main problem with that one.
I do love the coda kind of when, so they have the proposal and you see her, she's running and she's like, I can't marry you. I can't abandon him. And that whole scene I think is done so well in that version. Yeah. She's like, what is wrong? And Michael Gambon plays her dad, and that's like in his lane. Perfect. he's so great in these kind of period pieces playing the dad. Yeah. I think really good. And
probably my favorite.
Mm-hmm. And so I really like this one. I think that Romola is very like bright and luminous and just really captures the character of Emma quite well and very likable.
Yeah.
And you get to dive in a little bit more about a little more about the Society of Highbury in this one, because they have that time, which is nice. I enjoy this one, and I do also like the costumes in this one quite a bit.
Oh yeah,
it's really good. And so let's talk about Clueless. And then we'll talk about the new one last. But so Clueless is a really important movie in my life, actually. If I was going to say like a foundation movie, you know, that I watched a lot and was really important to me growing up, this would definitely be it. It came out my freshman year of high school. And so it was I remember seeing it and then going to high school and being like, wow, they caught it. They got it. You know, all the different cliques and the way Cher talks about the different groups, you know, when she's walking and the way she comments on the guy's clothes, like that was totally, we're expected to swoon. That I totally related to that. And I just thought it was so funny. I think the script, I still laugh. I still think it's hilarious. You know, things, they're so iconic now, these scenes, like the Haitians and the speech of the Haitians, I love. And I do think it's manages to get this dynamic of these two super popular girls that, and still keep them kind of likable and warm. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes to a lot to Alicia's performance.
Yeah. Definitely.
And her really good casting. I don't know. What do you think about Clueless?
I like it. Mm-hmm. I don't really watch it as an adaptation of Emma, but mm-hmm. I like watching it a lot.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of fun though to watch it and be like, okay, that's the painting scene. Okay, yeah. That's the, because they're
in that way, yeah. But if I'm like, I want to watch Emma, then I'm not going to watch it.
Right.
I'll just watch it and be like, oh yeah, that's the part in Emma. This and this guy is this and Frank Churchill is gay.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite? A favorite joke or scene in the movie?
I feel like I really like, I can't remember why, but like this one scene where Paul Rudd and her are in the kitchen talking.
Uh-huh.
I feel like I really like the, like their dynamic.
Yeah.
Is like a favorite part.
They have such great chemistry. Mm-hmm. Paul Rudd and Alicia Silverstone. I mean, and it is amazing because Paul Rudd still looks exactly the same.
I know, it's so weird.
It's crazy. But yeah, just like them, like talking about the news and she's like, I thought they had peace in the Middle East. I love her dad. Her dad's one of my favorites. He's so funny. You think I'm going to give a drink to, you know, my daughter? If anything happens to my daughter, I've got a 45-minute shovel. It won't be missed. And I couldn't be more proud than if these were based on actual grades. And so I think he's really, really funny. And but my favorite scene of the whole movie is the freeway scene, because I just think that's so hilarious. And I could totally relate to it because I was practicing driving with my dad and somehow we ended up on the freeway. Scene, I'm like, ah! And then my dad's like, hold on to the steering wheel, you know, and freaking out. And I mean, I don't know if you had an experience like the first time you're on the freeway and just being like, ah!
Yeah, it was just in driver's ed for me, so.
Yeah, driver's ed.
I was prepared for it.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been I wouldn't say driving is like my greatest skill, that's for sure. So it was a steep curve learning to drive for me. And I love that. I just think that scene is so funny. And they're like, ah! And I love Brittany Murphy so much as the Harriet character. I think that she's just so sweet, and yet she kind of is smarter than she obviously more world-wise mm-hmm. than either Dion or Cher. And that's a different dynamic to Harriet probably than any of the other versions.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how this version actually like nails the characters.
Yeah.
The original characters really well.
It really does.
Like that version of Harriet is just as good as like any of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in a way, kind of, Ty becomes the mean girl, you know, at a certain point. And she's like, what is this creature that I've created?
Yeah.
What have I done? And I just think Amy Heckerling did such a great job with the script of just, I don't know, so much social commentary that I think that Jane Austen would just love it. She would think it's hilarious.
Yes,
and I mean, the scene, the debate scene is classic, but with Cher, it was that, you know, that we all passed to the dining room, rearranged the plates, and in the end, it was like, the more the merrier. So
Yeah, that was great.
It's the best. And how am I supposed to argue against that? She's talking about some garden party. And I also love the whole revelation when she realizes that she's in love with Josh. And she's like, the whole all by myself. And I don't know, just that whole scene is really hilarious and done very well. And I like Donald Faison. I think he's really funny as Murray. I think that works very well. And I don't know, I love it. I think it is such a funny movie. It's such a good movie.
It's very watchable.
Yeah, and all the fashion. You watch it. Fashion. And I didn't you always want one of her that game that she has where she puts outfits together in her closet.
Yeah. That would be so cool.
And she's like, and you can only tell so much, so you gotta take Polaroids. She has Polaroids for everything. And I also love that she her rules for when Christian is coming over for things, that she's gotta have her good lighting. Did I fall into a case of bad lighting? And I think that Christian was really the first gay character that I ever really saw in a movie at least a movie that I kind of knew and that I liked so much. And so that was something that was important, I think, for me, at least growing up. And, you know, that's a really fun character. And I like his interactions with her dad are hilarious. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, it's a movie that I love Clueless, and I still think it holds up. I still laugh.
It's a classic now.
Yeah, because people compare it to 10 Things I Hate About You, which is also really fun, but it's just one of those timing things that Clueless just hit me right at that perfect time and was kind of my comedy for high school for that. But anyway, so let's talk about this new version.
All right.
So what was your overall thoughts about the 2020 version?
Overall thoughts? It's kind of hard because I haven't really solidified it yet, but I think I feel like I need to see it again, you know?
Yeah.
But overall, I definitely liked it, but I liked it because it was a faithful adaptation, not because of all the things that it did to make itself stand out.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I might warm to those elements later, but in the moment I didn't really care that it was had this interesting filming style and was really colorful and had the weird costumes.
Yeah.
I just kind of was like, I want it to be an Emma adaptation, and it was, so I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoyed it a lot. I there were a lot of things that choices they made that I think really worked, and because you don't want just the same movie over and over again. So I think they did enough to kind of differentiate themselves, make it unique, make it fresh without betraying the source material. And so I really enjoyed it. The thing I think I liked the most about it, aside from Clueless, I personally thought it was the one that was the most a true comedy compared to some of the other adaptations, which are a little bit more stuffy.
Yeah, it definitely added some comedy on the side to it.
Yeah, I felt like they kind of took cues from The Favorite and from Love and Friendship and just added some of that kind of dry wit and things that, while still keeping it in Austin.
The bit where he's taking the screens around.
Oh my gosh, that was so funny. I died laughing. Bill Nighy, he was so funny as her dad.
He's great. He's always great.
Yeah. I almost always love him, but he was so funny in this movie. And a little bit, I thought it was a really interesting scene when she's crying in the hallway and he kind of comes up to her and he just kind of stands there.
Yeah.
It's almost like he doesn't know what to do. Like, you think he would just like,
because she's never been like that before, I guess.
Yeah. And like, he's not somebody that I think is emotionally capable of just like loving his, like hugging his daughter he's just, I don't know. It was an interesting scene, interesting choice, but I thought it really fit his character.
Yeah, like yeah. He doesn't want to hug her, but he also isn't going to like leave her there.
Right. Yeah. That was really interesting, I thought. And I thought they did a really good job of making this Emma feel really young.
Yes.
Feel really immature.
Yeah, I actually like got the impression that she was like younger than me.
Yeah. And it felt like, as opposed to somebody being like bossy and rude, which it can feel when it's an older actress, I think what it made it feel like, no, this is just somebody who just doesn't really know, you know, what to say and what to do. Yeah. And especially because I thought they did a really, really good job with the casting of Harriet in this one.
Oh yeah.
With Mia Goth. And it was kind of like the blind leading the blind. These two super naive characters who obviously Emma has spent almost no time with anybody but Mrs. Weston and her father. And so yet she sort of takes this Harriet girl under her wing, who's also very sheltered, mm-hmm. and, you know, lived sort of a very sort of restricted life in this, you know, this girl's home. And so she just kind of eats up anything Emma says. And I thought that dynamic really worked, and I thought it just made her it was just like a different take, which was refreshing, I thought, for the character. And you really got a sense of her being young. How did you feel about them making Knightley so much younger in this version?
He was younger?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was the feeling I got, that he wasn't like...
He didn't seem too young to me.
Yeah, I felt like he seemed closer to her in age than any of the other versions that I've seen.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. It didn't cross my mind. So I guess.
I felt like, I feel like it kind of makes sense, because I think that maybe that's a little bit of a hard sell to modern audiences, to have this much older character, the kind of lecturing this younger character. And I don't know. I just felt like it made them a little bit more on an equal playing field.
Yeah.
To me. And did you think they had nice chemistry?
Yeah. Nothing like spectacular, but like it worked.
I liked the fact that I felt like, and maybe because they seemed similar in age to me, I felt like they were kind of at each other in a different way than you typically get in these things. Like, it was very, they were like shouting in a way that you don't normally, there was nothing sort of precious about it that you sometimes see in period pieces. Like, this was a little bit more sort of raw or shouting.
Yeah, people like actually got angry.
Yeah, which I really liked. I thought that was so good. And I felt like that really built the chemistry together. And he was really good at that sort of long, lingering British stare, which I love. And I thought particularly the scenes where they were dancing were really pretty spicy. I thought there was a connection between them. And I thought that those scenes, they did a good job of sort of portraying like just that little touch or that little look that brings the chemistry.
Yeah, I think the dance was probably my favorite sequence.
It was really good. I liked that a lot.
Good, and the costumes and all the characters were there.
Yeah. And I thought that they had a pretty good Mr. Elton. And that whole thing with the frame, that made me laugh. That was really good.
Stupid, ridiculous frame.
So ridiculous. People who haven't seen the movie, so they literally, not only is it like a gilded frame, it has a door covering that you open up and then you see, and that was really funny.
It covers up the picture.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's Josh O'Connor. I've never seen him before, but he was really funny. I really enjoyed that. And what did you think of the Frank Churchill in this?
I like that guy. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the character was a little left on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
like once you find out that he's engaged to Jane, like barely see them again. You see them once.
That's like, true. But I felt like he was probably the most unlikable version of Frank Churchill. He was pretty rude. He was pretty standoffish.
You really understand how Emma just does not fall in love with him.
Yeah.
You're like, oh yeah, Frank Churchill.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, yeah, they probably spend about as much time on the farmer. Can't think of.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they probably spend as much time on him as they do with Frank. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, it kind of helped because you really, as somebody was saying on Twitter, it's like, I really, really dislike Frank Churchill. And I'm like, yeah, that's the point. You're supposed to really dislike him. He's really rude. but I really enjoyed not only Mr. Elton, but I really enjoyed Mrs. Elton in this one as well.
Yeah.
I thought she was really funny. Mm. And I think her hair was really good. Tanya Reynolds is her name. And they did the whole, it reminded me of, do you ever see The Wives and Daughters?
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Davies one.
Oh, yeah. The hair was similar to that.
The hair in The Wives and Daughters, the way they had, like, sculpted.
Yeah.
Into, there's the way it is here, and it's like they sculpt it so it looks like a bow, mm-hmm. but it's actually her hair.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. They should remember at Oscars. But yeah, I thought she was really funny in this, especially the whole scene where she's talking about what is it? Mabel Grove. Yeah. And Emma's just like horrified.
His hand away from the food.
Right. Yeah. That was really funny, I thought. And we talked about the screens and her dad. That was really funny. And I also loved that even just when the baby is crying, it's like, call Perry right now, call the doctor.
Oh yeah, I love the girl who played Isabel.
Yeah.
She's good.
That was really funny to me. And I could call the doctor just for a crying baby. And I also liked the other Mr. Knightley, Isabel's husband. He was funny.
I always love John Knightley.
Yeah. He's just like, oh no.
Like on the side, just doing his thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if I was going to do like a dream casting, I think that I would probably have the Mrs. Weston from the 1996 version. I think she, and I like the fact that she narrates that movie.
Oh yeah.
Mrs. Weston. They didn't have as much of the Westons in this one, but I still enjoyed them in this, and I don't, I just thought it was really funny, and I liked the costuming in this. It definitely did feel different for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And some people were saying that that maybe it kind of had a little bit of a Marie Antoinette kind of a feel in a way, that some kind of the way there's sort of a modern touch to the period decadence in a way.
That was cool. The only thing I didn't like about the costumes was the collars on the guys' shirts with like over their cheeks.
Yeah.
They were so high and that was like distracting me.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise I liked the costumes.
Yeah. So if you were going to do a dream casting out of all the Emmas, which one would you pick?
Gosh, that's so hard.
I know.
They're so like, I like how every single one of them brings something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I think I would pick Romola Garai. Mm-hmm. I loved her. I thought she was so good. And maybe it's not fair because we see so much more of her in the version, but I loved her in that. So I think I would pick her for my Emma.
I think I would pick Anya, but mm-hmm. I would want her to play it differently, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like the way Gwyneth Paltrow plays it, but I like the way Anya looks as her.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
I also loved the hats, all the headwear, whatever, in the recent version was so beautiful. They definitely got somebody very talented to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can see that. I think I would go with Jeremy Northam, even though I actually love Johnny Lee Miller in 2009 version, but I think I would go with Jeremy Northam for Mr. Knightley.
Kind of almost definitive.
Yeah. Really good, kind of like a little bit shy, a little bit.
And you can really tell he's mature and sensible and stuff.
Yeah. And so then I think I would pick, it's a debate between Michael Gambon or Bill Nighy. I think I'd pick Bill Nighy as Mr. Woodhouse. And
great, but you know.
And then the Harriet Smith, I think I would pick this Mia Goth.
Yeah, I think I would.
She was really, really good in the movie.
So cute. I loved the way she would just like smile all the time. Yeah. Really big.
Yeah, so good. And I think, who would I pick for Frank Churchill? I don't know. Maybe I guess.
Would do with Rupert Evans.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, Ewan McGregor is really good too.
Yeah, but it's different.
I like the characterization that Rupert Evans does.
Yeah. I don't really like the wig that they give to Ewan McGregor. That's not my favorite.
Not so much.
I would definitely pick the Mrs. Elton from the 96.
Yeah.
She's so funny in that version. The Elton, I did really like this one in 2020. I thought he was really funny. Maybe I'd pick that. I don't know. I love Alan Cumming too.
Yeah, I'd probably go with Alan Cumming.
And so I think that's our main. Oh, Miss Bates. What did you think of Miss Bates in this new one?
She was good. I feel like I like her being a little bit more panicky sounding, because this one was like she would ramble, but she would ramble slowly. So that was different, and it was fine. But I don't think she was my favorite.
But I felt like the hurt was more sort of noticeable in this one than in the others
on it.
Yeah, like I felt really bad for her. So, but yeah, so I think I might go with this one. I might go with this one. But I really like the 1996 one as well. is really good. Okay. I mean, like I said, the Clueless is kind of hard to figure out in a dream casting because it's so different. Yeah, but because I love Brittany Murphy so much, and I love Dion and Cher so much. So I don't know, it's kind of their own thing. But yeah, I think there you go. I'm really excited to get to see this new one again. I gave it a 9 out of 10. I really enjoyed it. It was just so much fun, and I look forward to going. I think I'm going to go with my mom this week and see it again. Because it was just so funny and just such a nice break from all the stress. So, well, thanks so much for coming on and talking about Emma with me. I really appreciate it. And if you're listening out there, let us know what you think about the different versions. What's your favorite? Do you like Emma? What do you think works about the story? We'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments section or on Twitter. That would be really fun. And do you have a social media that you'd like to share?
You can follow me on Twitter at @HTWAM_Sarah.
Great. And I'll have that all in the description section so people can follow you. And do you have a blog that you'd like to share?
Your blog? My blog is howtowatchamotionpicture.blogspot.com. And you can find it through Twitter too.
That's a good one. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Make sure to check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Podcast, on Hallmarkies Pod, all of our social media, and on iTunes and YouTube. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate it. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. It helps us out so much. We also have our patron group, which is really fun. And we have our merch store, which has tons of fun Hallmark and Hardee's inspired designs. So check that out. And thanks again, Sarah. This was really fun to get to talk about Jane Austen, get to talk about Emma. And we'll hopefully be able to have you on again sometime.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay. Bye, everyone.